Welcome to Prompting Curiosity, a podcast for the AI curious. No coding background required. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what these AI tools actually are.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use them, and what they might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people. Welcome to episode 48 of Prompting Curiosity. I'm your grateful host, The Maestro. And today we are talking about Anthropic's latest model release, Fable 5. So right off the bat, two full disclosures. Number one, 2 days after I recorded this episode, Fable 5 was shut down. So what you're listening to right now, this part right now, I recorded after the original recording of the episode. I record these episodes about a week in advance, and I think this is part of being in the AI space. Shit changes so quickly. So I kept the episode, but I have added to the beginning portion a little addendum, if you will. And the first disclosure is that Fable 5 was shut down. So what you're going to hear in the episode, it still applies because the episode is just explaining what Fable 5 was. But you cannot go try Fable 5 for yourself. Disclosure number two, prior to the shutdown, I was only able to use Fable 5 to outline this episode, which is honestly not at all what Fable is even intended for, but I wanted to at least try it before talking about it. So my experience and what you're hearing in the episode isn't coming from some deep usage or anything like that. Left off the bat, this model, Fable 5, probably isn't for you. I have no idea of everyone who listens to this podcast or who reads the newsletter, but with how expensive the model is and what it's actually built for, it's very likely not for you. But we are curious people here, and I like keeping y'all informed. So I figured I'd do a brief episode on Fable 5 so you're at least aware of it and you have some information about it, and then you can go and do with it what you'd like. So allow me to do a quick rundown of the shutdown, and then I'll get into the stuff that I previously recorded, which is just about the model itself. So Fable 5, it is the newest model in Anthropic's line of models, and it was released to the public on June 9th. Just 3 days later, three little days later. I tried to stay on top of things for you folks, and now I got punished. So 3 days later, June 12th, Anthropic received a government-issued legal directive that ordered them to cut off all foreign nationals. Much of they were like, we don't want any foreign nationals using this model, including, that would include their own foreign national staff. So this is an impossible task, right? You don't know who's using it and foreign nationals or not. So the only thing that Anthropic could do was to comply by completely disabling Fable 5 and Mythos 5. I'll get into both of them later, shortly. They disabled both Fable 5 and Mythos 5 worldwide. Crazy, right? So the government's stated concern was that someone had found a way to get around Fable 5's safety guardrails. And I will also talk about those safety guardrails coming up. Anthropic, they went through, they reviewed the claim, and what they found, they're like, hey, this is a narrow workaround. This is not a broad bypass of the model's protections. And also, other publicly available models, most notably GPT 5.5, so that's ChatGPT's one of their models, their like most capable model, it has the same vulnerability. Right? Honestly, you folks know I am all for regulation. I am all for it. But this 100% reads like retaliation. I remember, folks, when Anthropic refused to let the government have unrestricted access to Claude for mass domestic surveillance and fully autonomous weapon systems. That was part of what, you know, led to the great migration of a lot of folks from ChatGPT over to Claude. And Claude has spoken, over to Claude. And you know, Anthropic has spoken out about, you know, they believe in having restrictions and things like that. And this does not feel like, you know, they are falling, quote unquote, victim to what they've said of, you know, the need and utility of restrictions. This very much feels like retaliation. So Anthropic did push back publicly But ultimately, they did comply with the order. And as of today, both models are still dark, while Anthropic reports that they are working to restore access. So let's get into now what the model was, what it could do, and just all of that. Whether or not it comes back, what it looks like when it comes back, I don't know. But what you're going to hear moving forward in the episode is what it was for those, you know, brief 3 days, and what they will be working with as like kind of the foundation if they do look to re-release Fable 5 and Mythos 5. First off, the 30,000 foot view. So Fable 5 is the first publicly available version of Anthropic's Mythos model, which is their most powerful model to date. So I spoke about Mythos quite a few episodes ago when it was causing a stir in the news, and it was, you know, it had the cybersecurity world in a tizzy. And that's still the case. You can think of Fable as the new top shelf drink, right? Not new top shelf, top tier, you know, lady on the block. So the lineup used to put Opus at the top, right? It topped out at Opus. That model, all these names. These tech people seemingly are notoriously bad at naming things. But the top of the line before, you know, the smartest, I hate saying that, the most capable model was Opus. And now it is the Mythos class. It sits above that. And you perhaps have noticed that I'm saying two different names here, Mythos and Fable. So let's decode this a little bit. Mythos 5 is the unrestricted version for just a subset of vetted partners. Not everyone has access to Mythos 5. Fable 5 is the same model with safeguards applied, and that is what has been released to the rest of us. The 5 is because they are Anthropic's fifth generation model. Right, so we're on Opus 4 point something and Sonnet 4 point something. And so this indicates like a new jump, a new tier, and that's why they have the 5. So Mythos, the big bad boy, only for certain people, it's Mythos 5. And then Fable 5, what they released to everybody else. So just a little bit of backstory. Anthropic unveiled Mythos in April. And shortly after that, I did the episode about it. And it was a limited rollout because it had like incredibly advanced cybersecurity capabilities. Like it was a problem. And basically it was like, this shit is too powerful. So at the same time, Anthropic also rolled out what they called Project Glasswing. And that was the countermeasure. So Project Glasswing gave select organizations early access to Mythos. And they were able to use it, and they could use it to fix software vulnerabilities in critical infrastructure before, you know, Anthropic released it to the public. Right? So they were like, hey, Bill, here's a team, you guys, a bunch of cybersecurity folks, we're going to give you the model. Use the model to go and look at all the cybersecurity and all the stuff and banks and financial stuff, and use Mythos on that because it's really good at picking up bugs. And this way, when we release it to the public can't use it against, you know, in a bad way because you've already patched the bugs. That's essentially what Project Glasswing was. Apparently, just not releasing it at all was not an option. So how is it safe to use now? How is it safe to release it now? I don't know necessarily that it is, to be completely honest, but what they did was they put guardrails in place, right? So they didn't release Mythos 5 to everybody. That only a certain number of people, a certain, you know, class of a group of businesses or whatever have access. What they released to the public and what you and I have access to is Fable 5. And Fable 5 uses classifiers that will flag any high-risk requests in three specific areas: cybersecurity, biology / chemistry, and distillation. So if you're like me and you have no idea what distillation is when a company trains a cheaper, smaller model by feeding it the outputs of a more powerful one. Right? So the smaller model learns to mimic the responses of the big model without needing the big model's compute or architecture. right? This is how you would get 80% of the capability for 10% of the cost, which is a nice little hat tip, throwback, callback to that episode that I did before, will ChatGPT get old navied? And so basically, you know, Anthropic's like, we don't want companies, China, they're saying, to use this to build a cheaper model. So if there are queries that relate to cybersecurity, biology or chemistry or distillation, the model will automatically route those prompts to the older Opus 4.8 model, which doesn't have the same capability as Fable 5. So apparently over 90% of sessions are unaffected. And by this, like most people are not using it for it, apparently, so what they've done so far in the testing, I don't know. But Threads, of course, had some people complaining that their tasks were wrongfully rerouted. Boris, he's the founder of the creator, one of the creators of Claude Code, and he's very active on Threads and he responds to people. And, you know, some of what he was saying is like, hey, it's a new model. There's going to be some, I don't want to use the word bugs because that's like what it's like designed to not have. But there's going to be some issues with things and issues that people were bringing up. He's actually very quick to respond to and offer suggestions and be like, hey, run this thing to see what the output is, to see what's going on. But apparently, you know, so those are the safeguards. That is why they released it. Apparently, you know, only 5% of conversations and sessions were affected and should be affected. Plain English here. If you ask it something sketchy, a different, less capable model will answer instead. Enter the bouncer analogy that I use for the title of this episode, right? When the most powerful model comes with the bouncer. So how it's actually better, I don't have that in this episode because they don't say what's under the hood. They don't talk about parameters or anything like that. They're just like, this is the newest, most capable model. So what is it actually good at though? The headline for this isn't smarter answers to your questions, right? It's stamina. That's literally it. Fable 5 can work autonomously for longer than any prior Claude model without going off the rails. And it outperforms Opus. Remember, that was previously their top tier model. It outperforms Opus on longer, more complex tasks. So the longer and more complex the task, the larger its lead, Fable 5's lead over the other models. So strong areas, areas that it's very good at, in theory, coding and software engineering, long-running autonomous tasks, scientific research, financial and analysis, and legal document work. So maybe you fall into that category. I don't know. Again, I don't know everyone that listens to this. But I definitely struggled with a use case for it. You know, maybe at some point I would have one, but right now, definitely not. So who actually needs this? Well, if you're vibe coding big projects or you're running long agentic workflows or you're doing deep multi-step research, this is the model for you. If you are, you know, drafting emails, which I hope you're not just having it write shit for you, but if you're drafting emails, you're brainstorming with it, you're thinking with it, you know, going back and forth with it, asking questions, no need for this. No need for Fable. Just stick to the everyday models. My daily driver continues to be Sonnet 4.6. I actually do all of my building, all my vibe coding with Sonnet 4.6. That is more than capable, right? So once again, we see AI with their backwards marketing as it relates to the masses and the general public, where they're like, hey, here's a solution. Go find a problem. And of course, people on Threads, you know, I'm in that vibe coding. I'm in that AI world on there. And so people are using it for what? I honestly don't know what these people do, what they build. They never really show it. They're like, I have a million agents going at once and I'm using all of a zillion tokens. And I'm like, what are you making now? What is the output of this? I have no fucking clue. Right? I think it is just volume for the sake of volume. But I am not currently building anything or doing any vibe coding, so I literally had no problem for it to solve. So I used it to help me with this episode and didn't notice a difference. But that was all I could try. So let's talk a little bit about who has access to it and the money side of this. So this powerhouse, it's basically just available as a preview, a little test trial. So Fable 5 is currently included in the paid tiers, Pro, Max, Team, and seat-based enterprise plans, but only until June 22nd. On June 23rd, it is getting pulled, and from there will require usage credits until Anthropic, you know, maybe has the capacity to fold it back into subscriptions. But we see it is yet again the Uber playbook. But at least they're being transparent with it. And they're like, hey, y'all, you got access to this thing till 23rd, 22nd. And then you're going to have to pay. So at least they're being upfront. I don't know. You know, the day that this episode drops, it'll be June 18th. So you'll have 4 more days to play with it. You know, get a trial window. If you're curious, go play with it before then, because then it's going to be expensive. So speaking of that, the money side, this model is expensive. It is token hungry. It draws down usage 2 times as fast as Opus. And that's, again, their next most capable model. Actually, when you go and flip it, if you're using or trying to use Fable, you can access it. I do everything on the Claude desktop app. And when you go to select which model you want to use, as soon as you go and flip on, like, select Fable 5, it says it. It says, what is it? Like, I'm going to go to it right now. It says, Fable is the most capable model and draws down usage 2 times faster than Opus, right? And Opus is already very, very notoriously expensive and token hungry. So keep that in mind. You're going to build with it. You're going to use it. It will eat up your usage very, very quickly. All right. So last thing before we get into how I used Claude this week, something that's very, very, very much worth noting is that this launch, this release of Mythos 5 and Fable 5 came only days after Anthropic publicly urged all major AI labs to establish a coordinated brake pedal on frontier development. And well, they're also prepping for an IPO. If you don't know, IPO is initial public offering. So they're trying to go public, be on the stock market, let everybody buy up a piece of the company there. This is crazy, right? They're literally urging. They're like, hey, y'all, we all should pump the brakes. This stuff is getting too good too fast. We should slow it down. They're not slowing it down. They're not stopping, right? And then, obviously the argument would be, well, if we stop, other people aren't stopping. So at least, like, you know, I don't know, maybe they're thinking we're the good guys, and so we have to keep going. Are we headed towards Skynet, friends? I'm not here to say either way. No doomerism from me, but I will leave that answer up to you. All right, last things last, how I used AI this week. So if you're new here, welcome. Each episode, I share a quick example of how I used AI this week, that week. This week, I'm keeping it super meta because, like I said earlier, my use case for AI was simply asking Fable 5 to explain itself to me. And then I asked it to help me with the outline. I asked it to go and pull the research, the launch coverage, and help me with this, with the outline for this episode. It felt approximately 0% different than when I've used Claude in the past. And, you know, at the end of the day, I suppose that is part of being curious, right? All right, that, friends, is all for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, consider leaving a little rating or a little review. I haven't checked it in a minute. I should go check it, but I haven't checked it in a little bit. But either way, I love hearing from you. Don't forget, also, I have a companion newsletter and blog, The Curious Companion, that drops every Thursday right along with this podcast episode. And it's basically, and by basically I mean exactly, the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read, or you just want a written record, you can join the newsletter, or you can just go and read the bloggity blog. You head to promptingcuriosity.com/newsletter or promptingcuriosity.com/blog. Or you can keep it simple and just check out the link in the show notes. As always, endlessly, endlessly, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.